Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
All right, we know that you're getting your ballots in the mail, and we are going to have a candidate for mayor, Rick Caruso, on the air on Thursday at 3 o'clock. And on Wednesday, in studio, also at 3 o'clock, Michael Schellenberger, who's running for governor as an independent, no party preference candidate, the author of San Francisco. You can find out a lot about what's happened to that city. And it's kind of his way of explaining where he comes from, in that he believes that that's the progressive dream taken too far, and it needs to be reeled in. And he's not a conservative. He comes from a more progressive political background, particularly when it comes to environment.
He's traveled far down the road. Right. So fascinating guy to talk to. And I think we've reached a point, I think it's clear to a lot of people, that all the progressive ideas have been tried out for 5 years, and it's been a miserable failure. So let's just stop.
Yeah, I feel like it's longer than that. To me, a lot of this goes back to the year 2011. And that was AB 109. We call it the prisoner
dumping bill.
Dumping bill, right. Mm-hmm. That was it. See, well, it even goes back further than that, because they had a judge on their case about California's prison overcrowding. This is important. AB 109, that stands for Assembly Bill 109, was originally written to build more prisons. Instead, it got gutted into the prisoner dumping bill.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to build more prisons.
I know.
They folded their arms and said, just like, no more freeways, no more prisons.
And that's, by the way, how you can identify bias in a lot of these stories, where they talk about, well, a judge was just trying to end the overcrowding in the prisons, and that's why California released the prisoners. Well, obviously, they didn't have to do that. Any idiot could say, duh, just build more prisons.
Build more prisons.
And they had planned to do it. They'd even allocated the money to do it.
Well,
but didn't follow through.
We had a governor at the time, Jerry Brown, who would, you know, he went to the seminary, was a Jesuit.
Yeah.
He felt very guilty because when he was governor of the 70s, he thought the sentencing got too harsh. He felt like he saw this prisoner overcrowding problem and said, this is my chance to undo my sorry past. So let's find ways to release people or not send them to prison in the first place. And the prisoner dumping bill, which is now 11 years old, was the idea that, oh, well, if a prisoner gets released, and he probably got released early, and he commits a parole or probation violation, just put him in the local jail for a couple days to teach him a lesson, but don't send him back to state prison. because we don't want him in the state prison, and we don't want those statistics collected. We want to act like he's being taken care of locally.
Many of these laws eliminate...
They called it flash incarceration.
Many of these laws eliminated statistic gathering because they stopped arresting for burglaries, shoplifting, misdemeanors. So they would say, hey, look, crime went down. Misdemeanor rate way down. Yeah. This must be successful.
That was the plan.
Recidivism down because they no longer sent people who violated parole back to state prison. You just got that flash incarceration for a few days.
Yeah.
So what they did is
they
sucked a lot of the crime out of the calculation simply by no longer classifying it as crime.
That's a good way to put it. They sucked the crime out of the calculation.
Yeah, that's what they did. So the numbers that they were trying, that they've been trying to sell you, this is what Gascon does all the time. He's always selling you a bunch of numbers that are fake numbers. Because if you don't arrest and convict and sentence people to a felony, well, what's going to happen? Felonies are going to go down. And you're going to say, well, my system works. Now, the guy goes out and actually commits more felonies, but none of them get counted as felonies.
Right.
So there's the crimes that are actually committed and then the crimes that are counted on the record. And those are two wildly different numbers, but it's unprovable.
So it was a federal court in 2009 that ordered California to reduce the number of inmates. But as John said, they could have built more prisons. Instead, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the decision in 2011. What do you know? That's the same year that AB 109 was introduced. It was followed by Proposition 47 in 2014, and now the one we're going to talk about in depth, Proposition 57 in the year 2016. It was sold to us by Jerry Brown, who continued to want to reduce the prison population. This was a way to let inmates get released early. Don't kid yourself. That's what it is, early release. By setting up a system of good time credits, good conduct credits, a bunch of BS hocus pocus just to get people out. But here what the real issue became this. Will this apply to all the inmates, Governor Brown? Oh, no. It only applies to nonviolent crimes. That's it. Don't worry about it. The California District Attorneys Association warned back in 2016. They wrote in their opposition ballot argument, the authors of Prop 57 claims it only applies to nonviolent crimes, but they argued it would also authorize state government bureaucrats to reduce many sentences for good behavior, even for inmates convicted of murder, rape, child molestation, and human trafficking. 6 years later, they're saying, we told you so. And we told you so back then, too. And the latest proof is Smiley Martin.
Smiley Martin.
One of the suspects in the April mass shooting in downtown Sacramento. He received a whole bunch of credits that allowed him to serve only 5 years of a 10-year sentence.
And he had a terrible prison.
He was not a good guy.
No, he had about 10 violent incidents while in prison.
Right.
So there's no such thing as like he had good behavior in prison. No, he didn't. Oh, well, he got rehabilitated in prison. No, he wasn't. It's just lies. Almost everything coming out of the corrections department is a lie, and the head of the corrections department was appointed by Newsom.
Prop 57 gave the corrections department the power to increase the amount of credits all prisoners can earn, including violent offenders. The agency has done this for both violent and nonviolent offenders since the measure passed through policy updates in 2017 and 2021. I remember the one in 21. They called it like some sort of emergency provision. Remember that? Because we had Anne-Marie Schubert on, and they were questioning, what's the emergency, right?
Well,
they were claiming the pandemic and all this stuff. We can't have this congregate living situation. It's dangerous.
Yeah, the pandemic was used as an all-purpose excuse to do all kinds of violent things. Just vile and violent abuse of the public by using COVID as an excuse. It's just absolutely shameful. And people fall for it. Well, I guess so. You know, this COVID thing is really serious. It's like, no. You don't release violent prisoners just because there's a virus going around. That's nuts. But I'm telling you, 10 years ago, they had 160,000 prisoners. Now there's 95,000. What do you think those 65,000 released felons do all day, every day? What do you think? They opened up donut shops?
Yeah, they might be doing
They got their accounting degree. What they're planting flowers? They're working in a flower shop? And what do you think they're doing? Why do you think the crime is up so severely and is getting more spectacular and more brazen? Why do you think that is? Do you think it's the 65,000 people they let out early from prison? Do you think it's those 65,000 or do you think it's another 65,000?
So when they authored Prop 57, they didn't define nonviolent crimes. So the legislative analyst said, well, it's going to be assumed a nonviolent felony offense would include any felony offense that is not specifically defined in the statute as violent.
That's another
trick. That brings us to the state statute, which has a list of violent felonies, but there's a lot of things missing, including rape of an unconscious person and domestic violence. That's the crime that Smiley Martin.
See? And so that's another thing. They have declared certain violent crimes to be nonviolent.
Well, exactly. Well, because they're not specifically included in the violent list.
So Smiley Martin gets out, even though he had a domestic violent conviction, because beating up your wife or girlfriend is not violence, which is contrary to all the other messages we got from the anti-domestic violence groups over the years, right? How terrible it is. I remember what after OJ happened, the tremendous amount of publicity these groups got. And you know, if you just grabbed somebody roughly by the arm, you committed domestic violence. Well, it turns out you could beat the crap out of your spouse, and officially it's not violent, and you'll get out early, because Smiley Martin did.
All right, here is Jerry Brown in the year 2016 pitching Prop 57 and assuring all it won't include violent inmates.
Some of the people try to spook people by saying, oh my God, do you know what this crime is? And they're eligible for parole. Well, eligible is the key word here. And if you're going to have an indeterminate sentence or a bit of an indeterminate sentence, you have to have discretion and you have to have judgment. So that means you can say yes or you can say no. And the propaganda of the no side is you'll only say yes, you'll never say no. Which has never happened in the history of the parole business. And it doesn't happen now.
Yes, it does.
Most paroles are denied.
How many inmates have been released?
On a yearly basis.
65.
This is a very interesting topic, a very important topic that touches safety, fear, religion, forgiveness, redemption.
The whole definition
of who we are as a civilization.
Oh my God.
It can't get any bigger than this issue.
This is his shtick. Oh, my God, that's a great clip, okay? Because he starts out by trying to be funny and making you laugh. It's like, oh, everybody gets spooked, right? He talks in an exaggerated way. This was his charm. He is a prolific pathological liar. But he puts on a good performance. It gets you to laugh a little bit at the beginning. You notice the tone of his voice is constantly changing to keep you interested. And then at the end, he starts invoking these spiritual mantras. Play that last line again, because then he starts appealing to your conscience. It starts appealing to your emotion. We all want to think of ourselves as good people, and we forgive, and we believe in redemption, and we believe in second chances, right? We're all trained since birth to feel that way, and that we're embarrassed to say, no, I don't believe it, because I don't believe in redemption. I don't believe in second chances. I don't believe in all that spiritual hocus-pocus nonsense. I think it's a load of crap. That's not what human nature is. But play that thing again.
This is a very interesting topic, a very important topic that touches safety, fear, religion, forgiveness, redemption, the whole definition of who we are as a civilization. So I think it can't get any bigger than this issue.
Yeah, the definition of who we are as a civilization. In other words, if you don't believe in how he defines civilization, then you must be this hard-hearted, cold bastard. Well, you don't believe in religion and forgiveness and redemption? You don't believe in the preachings of Jesus himself? That is great emotional manipulation on his part. And he was trained as a Jesuit, as a seminarian, to know how to press those hot buttons. How do you think these guys keep people coming to church? And how do you think these guys get people who go to church to dump so much of their money into the church coffers, huh? It's that kind of language, that kind of emotional manipulation. And that's how he got people to vote for this stupid, stupid proposition. That, and he lies compulsively.
All right, more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Okay, coming up after 5:30, an update on Russia, Ukraine. A few developments today. It was Victory Day in Russia and parts of Europe because of World War II celebrations. And they still do that. But we'll tell you a couple things about Putin and also entering the picture, maybe in a funny way, maybe not. Elon Musk enters the picture, Ukraine versus Russia. You'll find out all of this after the news at 5:30. We found out late in the show on Friday that there was a warning coming from the power operators in California. The Public Utilities Commission, the independent system operator known as the ISO, not exactly independent, but, and the California Energy Commission, that once again this summer, we could have failures on the power grid. In fact, it was described here in the Sacramento Bee as the fragile power grid.
And the failure is of Newsom and Jerry Brown and the California government because they have not created a large enough reliable power supply.
Yeah,
so now every summer we're going through this.
In fact, the state, of course, is trying to move towards 100% renewables to rely on. Oh, and I found the story the other day, John. Apparently at 3 o'clock one day last week, and it didn't last long, the state was allegedly running completely on renewables.
Because the electricity use was very low at that moment. 3 o'clock is a low point, especially...
It was a cooler day.
If it's a cool day, the really tough part of the day is 6 to 9 o'clock when everybody goes home and everybody's got air conditioning on and televisions on and kitchen appliances because they're making dinner. That is the big overload. And there is not enough power for 6 to 9 o'clock. In fact, that's when the wind dies down and that's when the sun sets. So you see the dilemma?
Yeah, in fact, we're being inundated with commercials telling us to conserve between 4 and 9 p.m. Well, I keep seeing them on TV.
Right, but you see how stupid
that
is?
They're trying to run a public campaign to make people do this because they can't provide enough power with their renewables.
They need to build more conventional power plants that run on natural gas. That's what a rational society does. You don't take the heaviest part of the day, 6 to 9, and say, okay, let's use a lot less energy. It's like, no, that's the time of day I need the most. And I pay taxes to build an energy infrastructure. So between 6 and 9, when my needs are at the peak, and I'm paying, right? I'm paying my bills every month. Then you have to supply it. You don't go tell me that I can't use it. You're supposed to supply it. And the reason they're not supplying it is because they don't have enough conventional power plants. They over-rely on fickle solar and energy.
And again, what they often do is they import from other states, but now other states are tightening up their supplies, and we might not be able to do that as much anymore. Then the drought, the lack of water, has made hydropower a problem.
Well, the drought is a common thing in this part of the world. It always has been. I keep telling you, 800...
Right, but there wasn't 40 million people here using all the power we use.
Right, but an intelligent governor looks at the history, sees that we, early in the last millennium, we had 800 years of drought. We literally had 800 years of drought. So you have to expect that stuff like that is going to happen. It could. We could have another 100 years like it's going on now. Everybody's talking about the dead bodies in Lake Mead. Well, there could be no Lake Mead. That's an artificial reservoir. There wasn't meant to be a body of water there. We might find 500 bodies by the time it's done. You cannot build a power system based on hydroelectric power and wind and solar. It's stupid. He has now reversed closing natural gas plants because he has to. He's going to reverse closing the nuclear plant because he has to.
Yeah, that's Diablo Canyon. It's supposed to close in 2025, but he's talking about not doing that.
Yeah, there's
202,280 megawatts of generating capacity, and they're all saying the same thing. Apparently Newsom's cabinet secretary said we can't keep any options off the table. And, you know, he's up for re-election this November. Not that that isn't a foregone conclusion, but if there's a bunch of blackouts this summer, you know, that could get people angry.
And he could try to paper over this by screaming about climate change all he wants. If there is climate change, it's not going away. If there isn't man-made climate change, you could still get 800 years worth of drought. It doesn't matter what's causing it. What matters is it happens with or without what we do on the planet, and we're basically a hot, dry desert area that we artificially pumped in enormous amounts of water to put together our fake little civilization. And you need all the water, and you need all the electrical plants. So they should build more gas plants,
knock it off with the wind and solar obsession. Clearly doesn't work. And they have never built the – now they're looking at trying to build battery farms to collect the wind and solar power. Well, that should have been built years ago.
Years ago, right?
What do they
should have had that infrastructure ready for this day.
Yeah, have you
really want to go to 100% renewables, you better have a lot of battery storage.
He makes these announcements, oh, we're going to go 100%, but there's no infrastructure to support it. I mean, the same thing with electric-powered cars. There's no electrical grid to support it. And you're going to have to burn natural gas in order to provide the electricity for the electric cars. So how much is it all saving? I just find all this stuff to be so nuts. Just nuts. Makes no sense.
All right, coming up next, an update on Russia, Ukraine. Is Vladimir Putin going to have another child? I know that sounds hard to believe, but there are some reports coming out. And how does Elon Musk fit into this with his odd tweet about being threatened? All coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, in case you're just tuning in, the Alabama pair that's been on the run for well over 9 days, the Whites, they both have the last name White. It's a prison guard and a Alabama murderer. They've been caught. They were caught after a car chase in Indiana. The female prison guard shot herself. Vicky White is her name, and we don't know her condition. But I guess at the end of the chase, she just decided that this is as far as I want to go. He gave up, though. There was a lot of talk about how he was going to be difficult to take back into custody. But he's escaped before, so maybe he just figures he'll find another woman to befriend.
Yeah, he did a number on this woman.
Yeah,
picked one of the most one of the most unlikely targets and got her to just blow up her life.
Thank God surveillance
herself.
Is everywhere. They were spotted at a car wash, at a gas station. Eventually got a tip. Well, they were at a hotel.
How are these two going to hide? I mean, their descriptions are comical. He's 6'9", 330 pounds, with two eyeballs tattooed on the back of his head.
Well, they think he might have been wearing hats and trying to cover
still,
his appearance. The tattoos, too. I don't think he went bare-chested. She supposedly changed the color of her hair, maybe, is another report I saw, because he had striking blonde hair.
But 6'9 is 6'9.
Back to Russia and Ukraine. Today was Victory Day in Europe, obviously celebrating the defeat of the Nazis during World War II. We also learned that the Russians have bombed a school building. Now, over the weekend, it was in Ukraine's eastern Donbas region, which a lot of where the activity is going on in that country now. There weren't kids sitting at desks, but it was a place that civilians have been hiding in. Boy, they've been hiding on going on almost 2 months now or a month and a half. It's no wonder millions fled the country. I mean, how long can you just try to hide?
Yeah,
from
no,
bombing
that's the thing. When weird stuff like that happens, just get out.
Yeah, they managed to save about 30 people, but they fear that there could be dozens more who may have been inside the building, and they're still trying to sort it out. Meanwhile, there are reports that Vladimir Putin might be a father again. His 38-year-old Olympic gold medal-winning gymnast girlfriend supposedly is pregnant again. Her name is Alina Kabieva.
Did you say ew?
Ew, yeah.
He's 69.
Yeah.
She's 38.
I don't want to think about Putin in heat.
Some thought today at the Victory Day celebrations he looked weak again. It was the constant speculation about his health. Although I saw a story last week that it comes from the same source, so it may not be reliable. It may just be more propaganda to try to make everybody believe
but
he's dying.
Stop teasing. Die already. I don't want they keep raising our hopes, and he keeps on living.
Supposedly, they share already 7-year-old twin daughters and 2 sons.
He can't leave
that
her
would
alone.
Be Putin
huh?
and Kabieva.
I guess when he wants to...
they've been hiding in Switzerland, were reports.
When he wants to have a role, what's she going to... She can't say no, huh?
Could be trouble.
Because then you end up in Siberia. Do you know what her title is in Russia?
No.
Russia's most flexible woman.
Oh, that's right. She's a rhythmic gymnast. You're right. She eventually got
And I don't think that means
politics.
She's easygoing.
Yeah. Is this like the Willie Brown-Kamala Harris relationship? She eventually got into politics. She was a pro-Kremlin member, was appointed by the Kremlin to run the state-owned national media group.
Yeah, she had the goods, though. 2 Olympic medals, 14 world championships, 21 European championships.
There you go.
You know, she's a real thing.
Now, Elon Musk entered the fray over the weekend. He sent out a tweet saying that if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you. This is because he's been using Starlink, a constellation of more than 2,000 satellites in low Earth orbit, beaming internet connections to dishes around the world. It's been a particularly strong presence in Ukraine, introduced to keep the country online amid the ongoing Russian invasion. And he tweeted out the information because supposedly the head of the Russian space agency, Roscosmos, expressed some displeasure at Musk giving Starlink equipment to, this is what they refer to the Ukrainians, the Nazi Azov Battalion.
Well, it's getting the Ukrainians, you know how many photos and videos and accounts they've sent out to the world about what the Russians are doing? We've seen all the atrocities, and we've also seen how much damage the Ukrainians did to the Russians.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's thoroughly embarrassed the Russians. I mean, their reputation as a military is shot, and everyone's seen the vicious brutality of Putin. So, yeah, they're pissed at Musk because without that... system that he built for the Ukrainians, we would know very little.
Well, yeah, it's his system, but he's turned over a lot of it to Starlink. The Russian head of this space agency, his name is Dmitry Rogozin, has already warned the world that Russia could destroy all NATO countries in about a half an hour.
That's probably true.
So that's why Musk made a joke about maybe they're going to come and poison him, or he didn't make it. He just said, if I die under mysterious circumstances.
Well, you better get a food tester.
You know what's going to
happen. They're very capable of killing him in this country.
Yeah, I don't think that would change Ukraine getting the Starlink satellite equipment, but if that's what they want to carry out. So Musk is a Nazi, too. They're all Nazis. It's a good word.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Some political analyst pointed out that Putin doesn't necessarily expect all the Russians to believe what he's saying, but he's telling them what they have to say out loud. This is the public face they must put out, and it must be what they say privately as well. What he uses these speeches to give them the script. This is the way we discuss this issue. You know, obviously, people are going to have whatever thoughts they have in their head, or they might have some backdoor ways to get online. But, you know, if anybody's overheard saying something about Putin's murderous aggression or how they've screwed up the war, then you get that knock at the door.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken.
Well, we hope to get our voter guide out this week. We're working on it. Right, John?
Hmm? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all in favor.
It's the end of the show, making sure you're awake.
I agree.
Here is who not to vote for. Just one candidate. You ready?
Yes.
You may not know this person. They are running. Their name is Erin Darling.
Don't know them.
Why would I say do not vote for them? Do you have a guess?
Is that a man or a woman?
Erin is a woman. E-R-I-N. All right. Erin Darling. Why would I bring this up? Can you have one guess?
I have no idea. I don't know who she is. I don't know what she's running for.
Think of the worst politician in the history of the John and Ken show.
Mike Bonin.
That's correct. He's endorsing her to replace her.
Wow.
That's all you need to know.
That is giving somebody political typhoid.
Well, that's what he did today. He just sent out an email endorsing Erin Darling to succeed me on the L.A. City Council.
That's political Ebola.
He referred to her, as he calls her, genuinely progressive candidate. The only genuinely progressive candidate in the race.
That guarantees she's going to lose.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't he get 13% of the vote and maybe she can come in second in the primary? No. He wouldn't.
No, get the- I mean, well, first of all, people are probably mostly not going to be aware that Bonin's endorsing.
Yeah.
But if hopefully that'll get around, it's getting going to get around now because we're talking about it. No, he is toxic. Everybody hates him. It's the Gascon situation. He's lost everybody on his own side because life is intolerable.
All right, now I remember a story a couple of years ago that's comparable to this. This is not as bad. Remember the LAPD officer that apparently, I think he went and had sex with a dead woman that was a woman found unresponsive in a home. Remember that story?
Yeah.
In San Jose, apparently, police were called to a family home for a matter. I'm not really sure what it was, but one of the police officers apparently excused himself, went inside another room in the home, and began pleasuring himself. Yeah, I guess he just could not. It says an unspecified call for service in San Jose. He stepped away from the group inside the home and then began to pleasure himself. One of the residents speaking to police spotted the officer and the other cops detained him.
his own.
Well, they have to. You can't do that. I don't know. It's not trespassing exactly, is it? Or. Is it public lewd behavior? Well, it's in a private house. I just got to know. What is it that struck this guy that he said,
well,
I'm going to have to figure out a way to get away from the group, find a little private bedroom, and I got to do it right now. I got to.
Was it one of the residents?
Yeah, you wonder if something turned him on.
Looked perturbed by seriously. I mean, every guy
runs. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No. No, I don't get these guys who just spontaneously have to...
Yeah, we see homeless guys on the subway, right?
All right, homeless guys, yeah, because they're insane, right?
Right.
But a cop?
There's no...
A cop? How old is he?
They're giving no more information.
I mean, you know, when you're 19, when you're 19, you're kind of that way, but...
It's a story about several problems on the latest black mark for San Jose police, but it doesn't say...
Oh, it's one guy. I hate that. Oh, a black.
Oh no, there's another. Some other guy.
There's another guy doing this too.
No, another guy was driving under the influence of alcohol during a search for a kidnapped child.
All right,
that's a little weird too.
One drunk cop and one guy
with a drinking problem.
Too much testosterone.
Yeah, there.
By the way, Aaron Darling is a man.
Before
he gets sued, yeah.
Oh wow! I never would have thought that. Oh, you're right. There he is.
Yeah,
I just clicked the link.
I went to.
I've never heard that name used for a male.
I haven't either.
I'm a civil rights lawyer, a surfer, and a father of a 3-year-old.
There you go.
Okay, you're right. I'm corrected.
So, just to avoid a lawsuit.
I shouldn't assume based on names now because names are all over the place.
Yeah, we degendered him or something. We got. Got Conway in here.
Hey now.
What's that jacket you're wearing? You got your name on the jacket? And...
Oh yeah, it does have my name. I didn't even see that.
It looks
embarrassing,
like,
right?
Like some kind of military jacket?
It's the West Hollywood division of the LA Sheriff's Department.
Ah, see? I knew it.
So I did a golf tournament for them, and they laid this jacket on me. I'm like, man, I'm going to wear that everywhere I go.
That looks cool.
Thanks, man.
It's like olive color.
Yeah, it's like a, what do they call it, a bomber jacket?
Yeah.
But I didn't know it had my name on it. Yeah. I feel like an a-hole, you know?
Just watch out for the defund people. They may come after you.
That's right.
All
right.
You'd be the enemy to them.
How nuts. I saw the Kentucky Derby on tape.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
Well, I can show you my ticket. I had 1, 3, 10, 13, exacta, trifecta, and superfecta. Right?
21 was the winner.
So if 21 finishes where it was supposed to, which was dead last,
yeah.
I have the exacta, the trifecta, and the superfecta about $23,000.
Let me tell you what I did.
I'll show you the ticket.
Really? I watched the race
live.
The ticket.
Yeah.
I watched the race live, and I'm scrolling through some reporters who were picking. This horse wasn't there because it just got in Friday. It just got into the race Friday. So none of them were, these stories were like a day old. So they didn't even have the horse considered something. When it won, I'm like, I don't even see it here.
Well, not only did you not see it, but the first time the track announcer I called its name was 3 feet from the finish line.
I watched that because that was fascinating.
It was unbelievable.
They had a replay, right?
Right.
And they had an arrow pointing at the winning horse. What was it called?
A-hole
Rich
first.
Yeah. Rich Strike. A-hole. Okay, so A-hole's out there way in the back, right? And they have an arrow pointing at the leader.
And you're watching. It was like a 50-second clip.
It's unbelievable.
And he's moving, The announcer says nothing about him until the final second when he nosed ahead.
I know. But you know what? Horses don't run like that. The horses only ever won
a maiden. Performance-enhancing drugs. I'm calling it.
A maiden-claiming race is the only horse that race that's ever won. That horse should be at Griffith Park where you can rent him. And walk around the stable.
Okay, so now how does that happen? The horse, like I saw, they had souvenir T-shirts with the all 20 horses in the field.
Right.
This horse wasn't there. No
rib
strike.
Well, a horse dropped down. They stuck him in the last minute. They didn't ship that horse in until 2 days before the race. It was horrible.
Wow.
Right. And so you're right. They're going to drug test the horse. Now, hopefully it doesn't come back positive. Because if it does, that's the end of racing.
It might be, yes.
You know?
Chaos.
Oh, but do you get the $23,000?
No, I kept that ticket. If that horse comes back with anything other than, hay and water, that ticket's worth $23,000. Someone's going to pay it, too.
That trifecta payoff was hundreds of thousands.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, the superfecta. No, the
superfecta, right? The big one, right?
The superfecta was 200,000, but the pick five, if you pick the top five horses, for 50 cents, or I think, no, that's a dollar bet. For a dollar, paid 741,000.
Nah.
Wow.
But you have to pick the winners of five straight races.
No, right? five horses in that race. But the pick five, you're right, is five races leading up to the Kentucky Derby. My friend did it in Boston. And his 50-cent bet returned him $241,000.
Wow! So he had 21 in the mix.
He had all. He singled a horse in the first, second, and third leg. Two horses in the fourth leg, and then he had all in the Derby.
Yeah.
And so he made $241,000, but the track kept $59,000 for the IRS.
Oh,
and I said, I said, so you're even got to be even or up for the year. He goes, two more of these, I'll be even.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. All right, Dig Dog, what do you got
with
tonight?
You guys.
The Derby
Let's go.
For 4 hours?
Yeah, the Derby. And Dr. Ray Kasheri's coming on with us to talk about COVID or something. I don't know.
Well, what else is he going to do?
Oh, no, it's a big donation to the hospital under Anonymous. Somebody donated $53 million anonymously to the hospital. So we're going to talk about that.
All right, very good.
Thank the anonymous person, right?
The anonymous person. Yeah. Mr. Anonymous. John and Ken show. We got Conway next.
Yeah. Come on.
Crozier's got the news. KFI, KST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And Stan, we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.